This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics. And this week, we recap all of the action from regionals weekend, including shocking upsets such as Michigan and UCLA not advancing to the finals, Stanford coming from behind as an unseeded team to beat Denver and move on to Fort Worth, Arkansas upset Kentucky in front of a home crowd, what individuals are qualified to the NCAA championships, and so much more. We discuss it all. So let's get into it. So if you ask for chaos, you get chaos. The NCAA regional championships have come and gone, and the season is already almost over. We've got just the NCAA championships left, and regionals is, I don't know if it's my favorite competition or my least favorite competition, because in some ways it's very, very fun. But in other ways, it is like being tortured.
Personally, I hate regionals. For me, there's nothing more painful than watching a team do well all season long just to lose it all in the end at regionals.
It happens every year.
It happens every single year. This year, I feel like it happened more than we've ever seen before in terms of upsets.
There were so many upsets.
Which we did predict that to happen. I think it was just not the upsets that we were thinking it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of teams advancing to the NCAA championships that probably a lot of people wouldn't have predicted, especially at the start of the season. So if you did, let us know, because you're some kind of wizard or something, if you were able to predict some of these teams advancing to NCAAs.
I genuinely don't think that anyone could have predicted this.
So we have Oklahoma, of course, advancing. They posted the top score of the regional finals with a 198.4. Florida had the next highest score with a 198.325. Cal put up a 198.275. LSU put up a 198.250.
Those are the ones that we expected.
Yes. Well, and there's maybe one more. I'll keep going. Arkansas, one that we did not expect, with a 197.825 to advance for the first time since 2018. And then Alabama, Utah being the other one that I think, if you're being realistic, many people probably expected to advance, as well as Stanford, all with a 197.575 to advance to NCAAs. And for Stanford, that's their first time advancing as a team since 2016.
And they came into this regionals as an unseeded team. So to not only make it to the finals was an upset for them, but then to advance on to the national championships was an even bigger upset because they upset the number 6 team in Denver.
The power of the angry tree. So semifinal one at NCAAs will be LSU, Cal, Stanford, and Arkansas. Maybe straightforward, potentially not, if a team like LSU or Cal maybe is a little bit off.
But Cal and LSU have been in the top three pretty much all season, so I feel like that first semifinal is pretty clear cut. It's the second one that I think a team that we initially would have predicted to be at least in strong contention for the Final Four is going to be sitting out.
Absolutely, and every year one of the semifinals is always way more difficult than the other, I feel like, and that is semifinal two this time. We have Oklahoma, Alabama, Utah, and Florida.
So at the end, I think we're going to run through and give our predictions on who we have advancing to the Final Four.
But we're just setting the stage right now. This is what the outcome of regionals was. And now we're going to go through and talk about some of the major upsets or big moments from each of the regionals. So living in Ann Arbor, of course, we went to the Ann Arbor Regional.
And chaos ensued on the very first day.
Of course.
We couldn't even wait to the finals to get the chaos started. It happened in the final rotation on that first day, at least from semifinal one.
So this was the first major upset of regionals, I would say. And it was Michigan not advancing to the regional final. They were beat out by Penn State,
which was another unseeded team coming in.
And that is an outcome that I don't think anybody would have predicted. I think it's fair to predict Michigan not advancing to nationals, but I don't know of many people that would have had Michigan not advancing to the regional final, especially with it being their home regional. And it was a really good meet for Michigan. Honestly, the first three rotations were pretty good. They were what seemed to be heading towards a season high or close to a season high as a team. They had their second highest vault score of the season, which vault has been one of the biggest struggles for them. We saw more stuck landing. So it really seemed like the pieces were finally aligning.
Yeah, it was a really
good meet. Floor was great. Bars was good. And then they went to Beam, which was their second highest ranked event all season long, and an event where they had been pretty consistent. And they unfortunately had a count of fall, which is something that they did not do all season. So extremely, extremely uncharacteristic mistake there in that final rotation. I want to add that they haven't counted a fall on any event the whole season. Like, Michigan was one of those teams, and it was a very small list. College Gym News posted it every week. There was a very small handful of teams that had never counted a fall the whole season, and Michigan was on that until this moment. So it was extremely sad and kind of surprising. And what's really wild about it is that Michigan could have still advanced even with counting a fall on Beam if Carly Ballman and Sierra Brooks would have just done, you know, what they normally do or what they're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Like Carly Ballman could have went 9.925 and Sierra Brooks could have went 9.95 or anything higher than that. And it still would have been enough for Michigan to advance over Penn State.
They basically needed pretty much perfect routines. I mean, not quite perfect, but they needed really, really strong hits from both Carly and Sierra in order to still be able to advance. And they both went up and got like a 9.825 type score.
And basically, which wasn't enough. By the time it got to Sierra, it was mathematically impossible for Michigan to advance, which is devastating for this team. It's been a rough season for them.
It has
been. With all the injuries they've had, and it really just felt like they never really reached their full potential or their peak. Most teams can look back at the end of a season and say, like, oh, we peaked at this point, or like, this was our best meet. And I feel like Michigan never really had that moment. Like, they had some shining moments in terms of events or individual performances, but it really just seemed like they were never able to put it all together in the same meet on the same day, which is probably really frustrating for them when they look back on this.
Well, and I think Michigan, if anything, maybe started the season stronger than they finished it. Like, the scores they were putting up in the beginning weren't bad scores, but I think as the season went on,
well, except for the opening 1.95 score,
right. But as the season went on, I feel like the team maybe got a little bit in their head the closer we got to postseason, and just knowing that Michigan State was super strong this season, and you know, there was a strong possibility that they weren't going to win the Big Ten regular season title, and they weren't going to win the actual Big Ten championship title, and
they might not advance out of their own regional because their scoring throughout the whole season was not necessarily at the same level as like the very top teams. They were tinkering between being a second seed and a third seed at their own regional, which is also kind of like, I think, low key something that was in the back of their heads.
Oh yeah, I think that they knew that. So, you know, at first it felt like they were on a mission and they were going to make sure that they were the most dangerous third seed out there. But then came to Beam and having a fall with Jenna Mulligan in the leadoff spot, normally very, very consistent and steady for the team, but she had a fall, and then I think it just set nerves through the team because it was like, honestly, they were probably thinking like, oh shit, like this is it, like this is the moment where we could not advance to the regional final, and they probably just got in their head about it, I'm imagining.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're probably having flashbacks to last year when they didn't advance as well. And granted, last year they didn't count a fall, but it was just, I think this was a really big goal for them this season. Obviously, winning the Big Ten title is the goal, but then also advancing onto nationals, especially with the way things ended last season. So I think it was just a big, big moment for them. And it was really unfortunate to see them go out the way they did, because I think that they know that they are a much better team than that.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown it all season. I mean, they've never counted a fall this entire season. And so I think in that final moment, to have your lead off on Beam fall, it puts, like you said, a lot of pressure on the rest of the lineup to hit with your entire season basically on the line.
So it was a sad moment, not only for the Michigan team and for people like Sierra Brooks and Gabby Wilson, who aren't done just yet. They'll be at NCAAs as individuals, but as far as the team goes, this is their last competition, their last time competing in Chrysler. It's just a really sad moment for the Michigan team and also the Michigan fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people bought tickets to regionals because they wanted to see Michigan at home, and
We personally know a lot of people who didn't even come, especially to that final day of competition, because that's how devastating it was that Michigan was not going to be competing there.
And there was still a pretty decent crowd, I feel like, but definitely not what I think it would have been if Michigan had been in that final.
So yeah, as Michigan fans, of course, we're sad about it, but I think the future is still bright. We're waiting on, you know, fifth year announcements, and the freshman class that's coming in is incredible. The 2024 class is the highest ranked freshman class, according to College Gym News. So
definitely some hope for the future.
I know that there's people out there that think that Michigan is doomed. I think next year with the freshmen coming in, this very large, talented freshman class, as well as, you know, getting people back from injuries and some fifth years, maybe.
It'll still be a really strong team.
I don't think this team is going to be as doomed as some people are thinking it's going to be.
I think it's not going to be the same maybe level of expectation as we've had the past couple of years, just because of the level of talent on the team. And I don't mean that to say that, like, the people that are currently on the team aren't talented. When you have a Natalie Wojcik, Sierra Brooks, Gabby Wilson, Abby High School, you're talking about some of the greatest gymnasts in Michigan's program history. When you look at the record books, that's, you know, four or five athletes that were on that list in terms of, like, all-around performance and what they could bring. And that's just really, really hard to replace. You cannot, no matter what team you are, immediately replace someone like that, especially in that large of a volume. Mm-hmm. Like, losing, like, a Kentucky losing a Raina Worley, for example, is also impossible to replace. But you're only looking at replacing four scores on the four events that she does. Michigan, the past two seasons, have had all of their top athletes that are all, like, some of the best all-arounders in the country, and trying to replace them, it ends up being a lot of routines.
Right, you end up trying to replace almost your entire lineup, and that's because Michigan hasn't had healthy underclassmen in 2 years, so they have been relying on upperclassmen who have been amazing and are very, very talented and have absolutely done the job for Michigan.
But I think going into next season, the expectation might just be a little bit different. In years past, Michigan was the kind of team that you would be talking about them making nationals and contending for a national title. I don't think that that's going to quite be the expectation for next year. I think they're just going to be a strong team, and they're going to contend with, you know, teams that are around like 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, kind of somewhere in that range is what I'm predicting. But we'll save that, I think, for a future episode when we talk about next season and predictions and all of that. Like you said, Ashley, I think definitely not the way that we were hoping the season would end for Michigan. I was really hoping to see them reach their full potential, but still very excited about what this team is going to be able to bring next season. I think it's going to be okay.
Oklahoma, of course, was the team we all expected to show up and be amazing in advance. And if any team can feel pretty confident that they're going to make it out of regionals, it's probably a team like Oklahoma. I mean, they started regional finals with a very disappointing 49.8. Such slackers to start the competition that way on beam. But they were stellar on floor. They put up a 49.675. Vault was the one rotation where Oklahoma looked not quite like Oklahoma. They put up a 49.320, which is a pretty low score for Oklahoma standards, but they were able to bounce back well with a 49.6 on bars to round out the meet, and still walked away with the highest score of the entire weekend out of all the teams that advanced to regionals. So,
and it was so great to see Oklahoma.
NCAAs. I said advanced to regionals. You know what I mean? NCAA championships.
I was going to say that it's so great to see Oklahoma in person. They're the kind of team that when you watch them on TV every week, obviously you see their scores and you know they're impressive, but I feel like they're more impressive when you actually see them in person.
Yeah. And we had a friend with us who is not a gymnastics fan at all. So this was her first gymnastics competition ever. And
even she could see, like, the differences between Oklahoma and the other teams. Just, yeah, like, their level of consistency and precision.
And the technique. And yeah, I was, like, pointing out on bars when Audrey Davis was going, I was like, watch this. Like, this is how a bar routine should look. Because she was trying to be a judge who knows nothing and trying to predict what gymnasts we're going to get. And I was like, okay, watch this bar routine, because if you don't know what exactly you're looking for on bars, this is what you're looking for. Like, the pointed toes, the legs together, nailing the handstands. So Oklahoma is always a fun team to watch in person, and especially if you've never been to a gymnastics meet before,
They're like the standard for what gymnastics should look like.
Yeah.
If there's like a picture version of a dictionary for gymnastics, I feel like Oklahoma is all the examples in terms of the current state of college gymnastics.
Yes.
And then Alabama was able to advance as well. They had a fall on beam actually both days of competition, but I was super impressed with how they were able to bounce back from that and not let it affect them. I think a lot of teams, especially under the circumstances of it being regionals and knowing that there's always the possibility for an upset.
Well, and even just seeing what happened in Michigan on the first day, like that has to be in the back of their head.
Right. And I think some people would really crack under that pressure, but not Alabama. They've handled it really well both days. And I was really impressed to see how far they've come this season because they kind of started out a little bit slow. And really, it wasn't until a couple weeks ago that I feel like they really started to pick it up as a team. And we saw their scores building and we saw a little bit more consistency in their lineups.
Yeah. You know, I had Alabama in my Final Four and my preseason predictions. And it's nice to see them kind of starting to peak now as we get closer to the end of the season. Because for a while there, I was like, was that a mistake predicting them that high? Because like, you know, the potential's there. You can see the talent, but they just weren't putting it out there.
Right. But as we know, potential doesn't always manifest in the way that we think that it will or hope mm-hmm. that it will.
And I do think that for Alabama, with the semifinal that they're going to be in for nationals, I think it will be very tough for them to actually make it to the Final Four. But I think with the way that the season started and how they looked at various points throughout the season for this Alabama team to advance to nationals from this regional, I think is something that they're going to be very proud of. Alabama didn't make it as a team last season.
And the year prior, right?
No, they were there.
No, they were there. They just didn't advance to the Final Four.
Yeah. And then 2021, I think maybe they didn't advance. All the years blur together. But I know that this team is thrilled to know that they're going back to nationals. And then for the individuals, almost a Michigan sweep. We have Gabby Wilson going in the all-around. Sierra Brooks going on vault and floor. Carly Ballman going on the uneven bars. And then Amani Hearing from Penn State going on beam.
Which I feel like is kind of random.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when I think of Amani Hearing, I wouldn't necessarily think of her as on being beam. Like a national qualifier on beam.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the way that it shook out.
Beam always has
like a
random people.
It's just whoever can hit that day, literally.
It's like Jade Carey last year qualifying on just beam. It's like she didn't qualify on floor. Like
or why, in the all around.
Why beam? And like, okay, yeah, she's good on beam, but it's just an odd that you wouldn't associate Jade Carey with being an NCAA individual qualifier on beam.
Right.
Want to mention, too, for that uneven bar spot, Carly Ballman, she won a tiebreak over Illinois' Mia Takakawa because she had the higher NQS. So at the end, what they start with a tie is looking at all four judges' scores. And then whatever the total is of all four is what the new score will be, and that's who advances.
And if it's still a tie, then they go to the head judge, which is judge one, whatever their score is. And if it's still a tie there, then they go to NQS.
Which is what happened here. So Carly Ballman advanced to nationals via those tie-breaking rules over Mia Takakawa. Okay, so moving on to the Fayetteville Regional. This is one that we had to go back and watch because it was happening the same time as the Ann Arbor Regional. Well, it was a little bit staggered, but only like an hour apart, which I hate that they do that. It was nice to be able to have like an hour or two in between meets. So you can, like,
watch everything and fully process it and not be, like...
Is that too much to ask for?
Last year it worked out like that. But I think it just depends on where the regionals are hosted. Yeah.
Yeah. So this one we had to come back and catch up on everything. But in the final, it was LSU and Arkansas who advanced. And
another upset?
A big upset. And this is one that I think we knew was possible because with Arkansas hosting, also with the potential of Arkansas, I mean, this isn't a team that's like coming out of left field necessarily. Like, Arkansas has gone 1-8 this season. They do have a very good team. And we knew that if they were on and Kentucky was a little bit off, even if Kentucky's not having a disastrous meet, just maybe a little bit off,
no,
that Arkansas could upset them.
I literally remember saying in our preview that if Arkansas had the meet of the season, and granted it wasn't like their highest score, but like they had to basically put everything together. They could not be off. Arkansas had to be on, and they needed Kentucky or LSU to be just slightly off. And that's exactly what happened. And they were able to capitalize on it and absolutely earned their way to Fort Worth, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Going back and watching that meet, I think Kentucky gave it away on beam particularly. Yeah. A couple wobbles that I think in the end, you know, going into the last rotation, they were a tenth and a half behind Arkansas. And I think if they hadn't have made those mistakes on beam, if people had done their normal, there would have been a smaller gap. And maybe even potentially Kentucky lead on top.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been by much, but where things get dicey is when a good floor team ends the meet on floor, mm-hmm. and any team has to end on vault, and it's a little bit more sketchy if that's maybe not your best event. Kentucky can be good on vault.
Yeah, I think they were ranked sixth nationally on vault. Like, that is not a bad event for them.
But what ends up happening is when you are behind by, say, a tenth and a half, two tenths, you know, anywhere kind of in that region, the team that's going to floor is a higher scoring event. There's more room for error. And it's also easier to disguise things on floor. So I think that you're way more likely to see 9-9, 9-9, 9-9-5, those type scores back to back to back on floor.
Whereas for vault, to get those scores,
you have to stick. And so going in for Kentucky that last rotation, it was already an extremely tall order, being a tenth and a half behind Arkansas, with Arkansas being on floor at home. The momentum and the energy is on their side.
And Arkansas is a good floor team. Like, that's a great event for them to end on. That would be the best event I would pick for Arkansas to end on.
Yes. And my theory is that the worst event, well, there's two worst events. Beam is always the worst event to start slash end on. But I also think, since this new format of regionals, I think that vault has been the dream crusher, because when you look at last year, Michigan, when they were upset at home against Denver, they ended on vault.
Well, they were at Denver's home.
What did I say?
Well, you said at home, but I'm clarifying that it wasn't Michigan at home.
No, they were at Denver.
Yeah.
Michigan ended on vault and they were upset. This year, Kentucky and Denver ended on vault and the same thing happened. We'll talk about Denver when we get to them. But I really think that vault in recent years has been the dream crusher.
Yeah, it's a hard event unless you're like elite on vault, which it's not to say that these aren't good vault teams, but it's just you have to be the kind of team that can go up there and either stick or have like minuscule hops. And that's just so hard to do. Mm-hmm. We very rarely see teams do that. And if they do, it's like a one-off occasion. There's just not a team out there that every single week they just drill the crap out of their vaults.
Not a single team. Because even Oklahoma, you can't say. Oklahoma, yeah. If they have a weakness, it's also vault. Where Oklahoma stands out, heads and shoulders above the other teams, is they are so consistently good on the other events. You know, when you're going 49-6, 49-7, 49-8 on your other three events, you can swallow a 49-4 or a 49-3 on vault because you're creating that much more distance between yourself and the people below you.
Well, right. It's like,
but no honestly, other team is able to do that.
What happened in the Ann Arbor Regional, the fact that Oklahoma started with a 49-8, they put up 49-6 plus scores on beam and floor, and then vault was, by Oklahoma standards, really average, going 49, what did I say, 49.325 or something?
Yeah, that's a rotation with like no stuck vaults or maybe one.
So like that's the kind of rotation that like certain teams could have, and it's like, that's not good. But for Oklahoma, because they're so much higher than everybody else on the other events, it didn't even matter. They still went 198, they still won, they still posted the highest score out of any team. Like, they can have that quote-unquote bad of a vault rotation, but they make up for it on the other events, and they're really the only team that's doing it that way.
Yeah. So shout out again to Oklahoma. I hate to have them always be the example for everything, but it's kind of true.
They're the dictionary picture that you look at.
They are. And I think when you look at why some of these teams were upset this weekend, I think it came down to little mistakes that they were having, little tents that they were leaving on the floor. And then all of these are teams that ended on vault, with the exception of Michigan, that ended on vault and had a team end on floor and just gain tenths back real quick.
So note to self going forward,
if your team finishes on vault
or beam,
be prepared to sweat because it's not fun.
And then LSU, of course, advanced. They were one of the teams that pretty much everyone was expecting to advance. It would be a major upset if they didn't advance. But LSU looked great.
I think they look ready for the Natty, honestly.
I think they do, too. I mean, they have a couple people that are dealing with some ailments, like, which is unfortunate because I feel like LSU has actually got through this season relatively unscathed.
Yeah.
Especially considering everything they went through last year, the absolute hell that they went through. So it's been a good season for LSU and they've managed to stay healthy. But now Haley has something going on with her elbow. And I think Sav has something going on.
With her shoulder.
And then Alexis Jeffrey had vertigo. So they just have had some challenges, it seems, in the past week or so.
But if there's anything we know about this team, it's that they can overcome just about anything.
Oh yeah.
I mean, last season is the perfect example of that. So I would not be surprised if LSU shows up in Fort Worth and is one of the strongest teams and is really making a push for that national title and is going to be right there ready to swoop in if Oklahoma makes any mistakes.
I think LSU is going to go down swinging. Like, they are not going to go down without a fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the kind of team that they are.
Yeah. They call them the Fighting Tigers, and that's why.
So the individuals from Fayetteville, Jade Carey goes in the all-around, which feels right, especially after last year. She was only there for beam. What doesn't feel right, though, is Maya Hooten on vault. Here's the thing. Her on vault, I'm fine with, but, like, floor. Like,
she's ranked second nationally on floor, and for the second year in a row, she misses out.
And the reason for that is because
Upsets.
Because Raina Worley ended up getting the spot on floor because Kentucky didn't advance.
But if Kentucky had advanced, then Maya Hooten would be going on vault and floor.
So that kind of sucks.
And I personally think that there needs to be some changes. We're going to do a whole episode on this, so I won't dive too deep into it. But I personally think if you are ranked, you could say in the top 10, you could say the top 5, you could even really say the top 3. I think that's a little bit strict. But at least top 5 nationally on an event or in the all-around and your team does not advance, you should be allowed to go to nationals because Jessica Hutchinson is also ranked very highly nationally in the all-around and on certain events. And she's also not going to nationals now.
It's just like,
it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to do so good individually all season and be truly among the best in the country just to have your team perform bad on one day or average on one day and you don't advance and your season ends like that. And sometimes your career ends like that.
Yeah.
That just feels like a crime. And granted, Maya Hooten can come back for a fifth year and so can Jessica Hutchinson. But either way, like, the fifth years are ending after this next season.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, something needs to change because you should not be ranked, I personally think, in the top 10 all around or on any event and not be at nationals. Because it's not a true, when you're talking about who's the national champion on floor, the national champion on vault, the national champion in the all around, you truly want the best of the best to be there. And maybe that person's team isn't among the best of the best, but them as an individual are among the best of the best.
Right. Like, is it really a battle of the floor queens if Maya Hooten is not in the mix?
No, it is absolutely not. So justice for her, I'm not happy about that.
It happens every year, and this is honestly one of my least favorite things about regionals, particularly for individuals. Sometimes the favorites do break through. They do find a way to make it there. But there's always a couple of athletes that are like queens on a certain event. They get left out and it just sucks. I hate it.
And to be clear, Raina Worley is going on floor and I'm very happy about that because she is, I think she's ranked number one on floor. So, like, well, it makes sense that she's going up floor. That's deserved. I just feel like Maya Hooten should also be there.
So, the tiebreak for this one was the same as with Bars and Carly Ballman in the Ann Arbor Regional. It was based off of, the way I said based, it was based.
Based.
It was based off of NQS. So, yeah, Raina Worley got it over Maya Hooten because she has an iron. Higher NQS.
She has a high iron.
She has high iron. Unlike me, I'm always iron deficient. But Raina Worley is good. So Jade Carey in the all-around, Maya Hooten on vault. Courtney Blackson goes on an even bars, which is iconic because she made it on vault last year. So she's like, I'm not only going back, but I'm going to be going on a different event because that's how good I am.
And she was injured, was she not, a couple weeks ago? Like, we all thought she was out.
I think
and
so.
And then suddenly she came back. I'm pretty sure it was day one of regionals and then qualifies on to nationals. Iconic. And she had her spot solidified outright. Like, it didn't matter what the outcome was, who advanced. Like, she was going to nationals.
There was a lot of tie breaks in all of these regionals. Actually, I think every single one, every event had a tie break of some sort, but not this one. So shout out to Courtney. And then Isabella Magnelli went on beam, and then, as we mentioned, Raina Worley goes on floor. And with Magnelli on beam, that was also a tie break over Ella Sirior from Minnesota. Okay, moving on to the Gainesville Vail Regional, which has everybody talking online. We're actually going to do a rescore of this. We haven't done it yet. So,
but honestly, by the time this episode is up, we might have it up.
Potentially. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to put it on our Patreon page, but we're going to make it open to everybody as a thank you celebration, whatever you want to call it.
A four-year gift.
There you go. Celebrating 4 years of the All Things Gymnastics podcast. We're going to make this one free to everybody. So we're going to post it on Patreon.
But don't be scared of clicking the link. You're not going to get like blocked or anything. Because normally when you click our Patreon stuff, if you're not a Patreon, it won't let you see it. You can't access it. But this will be public, so everyone will be able to see it. Don't panic and go check it out.
I'm actually really excited to see what this rescore reveals, because I think from reading people's opinions online, a lot of people seem to think that Utah was overscored, Mizzou was underscored, and honestly, MSU at some points was underscored as well, which I think I kind of agree with to some extent, just from my initial watch, but I don't think it's going to change the outcome. I don't know that it's going to change the outcome either, but I definitely think it could get closer because it was only 2.5 tenths, but it separated Utah and Mizzou anyways. And I think that you could probably close that gap a little bit more even depending on how the scores shake out. I wish that we could have rescored it before recording this, but just time-wise and with work and everything, it didn't work out. So we will definitely share our thoughts in a later episode, but either way, go check out the Patreon because it'll be posted on there and you'll be able to see our score breakdown. But in the end, it ended up being the two teams that I think probably felt the most likely for many people, with Florida and Utah advancing. Florida looked shaky, I would say, during the semifinal round, but during the finals, when it mattered most, they were lights out.
I was really impressed with them.
Yeah, they were not showing any signs of nerves, and this was one of the toughest regionals, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, they had every right, all of these teams had every right to be nervous. Oh yeah, Florida, Utah, Michigan State, Mizzou, these are all teams that, you know, with a good day, could advance to nationals. Like, every regional usually has like one team where it's like, that's probably not likely. And sometimes even two teams where you're like, probably not. But this one truly felt like all of these teams could advance. Like, there was no room for error. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with regionals, what it comes down to is just that, not giving room for error and being as on or as perfect as you can be. Because sometimes when it comes down to two teams that are really, really close, it's those little details that unfortunately painstakingly make the difference. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important for a team like Florida did to just go out there and kind of just like shut it out.
Yeah.
Like, Florida made it very, very clear that they were the top team there. They were not going to get knocked out.
It was undisputed. Like, you could not argue it. They were clear in a way the best team that day.
Right. Like, there was, it wasn't even close between Florida and the other teams. So Florida did a great job. If there was any team that I thought maybe, well, I should say any top team that is expected to advance that could maybe get a little bit nervy and could potentially get upset, I think it would have been Florida. And I do think it would have been hard with them being at home and sometimes knowing how home scoring goes. I didn't necessarily see that happening, but yeah, if this weekend taught us anything, this, everything's possible. You can never say never.
Literally. For example, Utah, anything is possible, counted a 9-5 on bars, so essentially a fall. It wasn't literally a fall, but score-wise, that is basically a fall.
And that came from McKenna Smith in the leadoff spot, so made things really, really interesting right out the gates for that team. And then Alani Sabado in the anchor spot came off, meaning that Utah had to count that 9-5, which is not the way you want to have your regional start in a field this good.
I thought it was over.
I did too.
I immediately thought it was over.
Well, the door certainly swung wide open when Utah did that.
And it became anybody's game. I was rooting so hard, I'm not even going to pretend like I wasn't, for MSU, because I wanted them to make it to nationals for the first time in their program's history. I personally felt like they got the short end of the stick with even getting this regional placement, because they were ranked much higher than what this placement basically put them in. Mm-hmm. But they got put there because of host seeding conflicts between Arkansas and Michigan. So I already felt bad for them. And after the season they've had and all the history they've made, I felt like it just felt right for them to advance. Like, if they could put it together, of course. I know you get nothing handed to you, but Utah made that mistake, and I was like, okay.
The door is open.
If MSU can just do they're normal. If they can just do what they've done all season, I think they're going to advance. My mind definitely went there.
And they had a great start on fall. Nikki Smith, unfortunately, had a fall. I think she was going a little bit too hard for that stick. But the rest of the vault lineup looked good. And Michigan State was in a great position to, if they could just keep that momentum going, put themselves in a position to advance to nationals.
But they seemed really, really nervous.
They did. And it started with bars. It wasn't a disastrous bar rotation, but they just weren't able to capitalize and make up any ground with really any of their scores. There was a lot of scores in the 9-7 range,
which I do think was a little bit harsh. But either way, it's kind of what you just said. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that happens. It happens during the regular season. It also happens in postseason, where you'll get judging that kind of is a little bit harsher than what you're used to seeing. So if you take a step, or you have, you know, some bent knees or some flexed feet, whatever, a little leg separation, a routine that would typically go like 9.85 or like maybe 9.8 is going 9.75 suddenly.
Right. In order to get those 9.9s, you basically need to drill the routine. You need to stick the dismount. And again, leave no doubt.
Yes, that's where I was going. I didn't finish my thought, but you picked it up for me.
I knew where you were going.
It's the fact that, like, in a final like this, with these incredibly talented teams, you kind of have to be almost perfect. You don't have to literally be perfect, but you have to be sticking majority of your dismounts or having as minimal of deductions as possible. You want to squeeze every tenth out of every routine, because sometimes in the end it comes down to it. And it looked like that was going to be the case for MSU. Then they went to Beam and they counted a fall. Kind of like we said with Michigan, for the first time this season, they counted a fall. They were one of those few teams that were still hanging in there.
Yeah,
so it was really unfortunate way for them to end their season too.
I feel bad for Michigan State because, like you said, with this host seed conflicts, they could have probably been in a regional that was maybe a little bit easier. None of them are easy, and I know that, but this one just felt particularly intense.
It felt particularly mean.
Yeah, for a team that is phenomenal, that's trying to make a statement, that's trying to make history, you know, was it possible for Michigan State to advance? Absolutely, especially when Utah opened the door, but they seemed, after that first rotation, to get just a little bit nervous and a little bit shaky.
And everywhere that Utah did give them something, they seemed like they were handing it right back to them. And so mm-hmm. that was kind of like, oh, come on. Like, this was supposed to be your year. I can feel it.
I know.
But they are going to have a great team next year as well. So I'm very, very excited. They have some talented freshmen coming in. And
a lot of people returning as well.
Basically, their entire team is returning. And then who knows about fifth years. I know Delaney Harkness is taking a fifth year. She did say that. Mm-hmm. But either way, I'm expecting them to have basically the same team and then some next year. So they're going to rebound.
Not the end.
Next year is going to be great.
Mizzou ended up being the one that was kind of going back and forth with Utah and fighting for that second spot.
And Utah was ending on vault. So going off my theory, and Utah also not being the best vault team, in my opinion, in terms of their landings, I'm thinking, but then Mizzou is also on beam. And they're not the best on beam. But I'm like, Mizzou, if you can stay the F on this beam, you could go to nationals.
I think Mizzou needed to have like one of their best beam rotations. It certainly was possible.
In day one of regionals, they did. They had their best beam performance of the season. But I'm pretty sure score-wise it was.
Yes, but it was still like not a huge rotation, if you know what I mean. Like, you really need to see aggressive hits that are 9-9 range. And we just haven't seen that from Mizzou on beam. And we haven't seen that from Utah on vault either. So it definitely
felt a little bit like, ooh, who's gonna win this?
Yeah, and I think if Mizzou
had shut Utah out,
if they had nailed beam, they only put up a 49.250, I think they maybe could have held off Utah. But that's where it's going to be really interesting to look at this rescore and see, you know, what we come up with. As someone who has like no stake in this game, like, I'm not personally invested really in any of these teams besides Michigan State. But I think in the end, with it being between Utah and
right,
Mizzou,
Michigan State comes to fall, so they're already out of it.
Right. Like, it's between Utah and Mizzou, and I like, I don't have a vested interest in either of these teams. So I'm really curious what we're going to come up with when we rescore this meet, trying to be as
fair,
consistent as possible across the board for all the teams, and seeing like how much of a difference it actually makes. You know, if Utah was being overscored, what event were they the most overscored on? By how much was Mizzou getting like unfairly underscored. I mean, that stuff that I noticed a little bit when watching live, but you almost get so caught up in like the storyline of like Utah needing to do this and Mizzou needing to do that, that like you kind of get lost in some of the,
was that overscored or not?
My general impression was that bar scoring was the lowest for all teams. I think that Utah maybe got a little bit more generous scoring.
On vault, I think they had some vaults where I'm like, no, that wasn't a
on vault as well, but I feel like on bars, they had some routines that were hit with a stuck landing that would go 9-9, and that's how you know that it's going to be a tough scoring event, because if they're giving a solid hit routine with a stuck landing and 9-9, that, I'm talking about Milo Keefe, so you know how Milo Keefe is on bars. Mm-hmm. That means that anybody who is not Miley O'Keefe level of borderline perfection on bars is going to struggle to break 9-9.
Right. Her technique is so good that unless she makes a mistake, there's not a mistake.
Right.
So looking at that, I guess maybe the dismount, she cowboys a little bit, but you know what I mean?
They don't take for that. Let's be real.
Some judges, I think, do, but for the most part, probably not. But when she's on the bars, her technique between, you know, the release moves and all of that.
The handstands.
Yeah, is as good as it gets. So, yeah, I agree that bars was definitely a tough scoring event across the board.
And then I think vault, for Utah in particular, I remember feeling like it was a little bit high.
Mm-hmm. Me as well.
But I would still want to go back and rewatch everything and, like, really break it down.
I'm excited to do that. Okay, so individuals from Gainesville. We have Lily Smith from Georgia going in the all-around. She beat Michigan State's Nikki Smith in the tiebreaker through having the highest single event score in the all-around, which was a 9.975 on the Aneva bars. So that is how she advanced to nationals as an all-arounder. Emma Silberman qualified for Maryland on vaults, which is very exciting.
I don't know the last time Maryland had somebody at NCAAs.
I don't know either.
Off the top of my head, like, I can't think of even who that would be.
But that's exciting. We love the Big Ten representation. And also, Maryland is so sweet. They were, and I'm assuming it was the hotel lobby, like, cheering for MSU as they were walking through the hotel to go to their bus.
Yeah, they went to the send-off and they were wearing Big Ten shirts.
That is so cute. I love that so much. So shout out to Maryland and shout out to Emma Silberman. Mara Titarsoli from Mizzou is going on the uneven bars. Nikki Smith from Michigan State is going on beam,
which is really iconic because she has not done beam really at all this season. She was in the first couple weeks and it was kind of inconsistent. So she got pulled out.
But she drilled it.
They threw her in day one of regionals. She drilled her routine. Qualifies to nationals as an individual. It's just like the most random thing. Again, beam is the most random event.
Michigan State has consistently had a beam girl at nationals because they had Skyla Schulte in 2022. They had Gabby Steven in 2023. And then now they have Nikki Smith.
So, okay, MSU beam team, we see you.
And then Skyla Schulte, also from Michigan State, goes on floor, beating out Jocelyn Moore from Mizzou with the 4-judge total. And also for bars, Mara beat Nikki Smith on bars via the 4-judge total as well. And then the last regional, last but not least, Kathy Johnson Clark's last time commentating was the Berkeley regional. And I just want to say, I was crying. I'm sure a lot of people were. I'm usually, like, not a very emotional person. I can usually watch things and be like straight face. But
I got teary for Kathy. It was just, we love Kathy. She is such an amazing woman, an amazing commentator. She's done so much for the sport.
And she's been around for so long. You go back, you know, 20 years ago or more, and she is still commentating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just and that's crazy. Just so rare to see. I feel like she has been, like, so much has changed in gymnastics throughout the years.
And she's been there through it all.
She's been, like, the one consistent.
Yeah. And she's, like, our comfort person, you know what I mean? Like, any meet that Kathy is commentating, Kathy and Bart,
it gets, like, 10 times better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could throw them at the most, like, random team that people don't pay that much attention to.
And I think it would suddenly become
absolutely. Like, you could have Bart and Kathy commentate a D3 team, and I'd be making that a part of my, like, nightly Friday Night Heights. Like, it would be a thing. I would watch it. So that's just the impact that Kathy Johnson has. And she's certainly going to be missed. But she did a great job calling her last meet at the Berkeley Regional. So as far as the gymnastics goes, I think this was the regional that I was the most happy with. I was definitely pulling for Cal to make it and UCLA, which that was sad. That was another one of those moments where I was like, when we said we wanted chaos, this is not what we meant. Because UCLA, similar to Michigan, also did not advance
to the regional final. But that was more so because they were just kind of average across all the events, maybe with the exception of floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just left too many tents out there. So that was sad to see their people like Mars' career end that way. For Selena's season to end that way after everything she did to get UCLA to this point.
Well, she's not done yet. She's going on Beam, but...
But I mean, like, even as an all-arounder.
Yeah.
And as a team as well. Yeah, just to, you know, kind of like we said with Michigan, UCLA was not guaranteed to make it to nationals, but we did expect them to make the regional final. So to get knocked out in that first round was a huge upset. And they did that because of Arizona State. They beat them by a tenth and a half. Arizona State is one of those sneaky teams that always gets better. They really show up, I feel like, at regionals in particular.
Oh, yeah.
They are lethal no matter if they're a third seed, a fourth seed, whether they're unseeded. I feel like that's the kind of team that you should always be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened here with UCLA. They left the door open in a lot of areas, and Arizona State was able to capitalize on that.
I think the biggest area that UCLA left the door open was on the uneven bars. So Caitlin Rosen had a fall. Pretty uncharacteristic for her and someone who's capable of bringing in a big score. But because she fell, UCLA then had to count the 9.775 from Frida Esparza and a 9.725 from Mars, which is also an uncharacteristic score. And then Shea Campbell only went 9.825. Selena went 9.85. So they weren't going as big as they could have gone. Mm-hmm. Emma Malabuya was the only 9.9 score in that whole rotation. Which is, in the end, you know, that rotation, any of them just going a tenth higher or a little over a tenth higher would have been enough for UCLA to advance.
Which is always painful to look back at.
They could have done it on any event, I guess. It doesn't have to be bars, but bars is definitely the event where I think they left the most out there on the floor. And Beam a little bit, too. They didn't have a fall, but they still had to count two scores in the 9-7 range. And, yeah, floor was really the only event where I felt like they were kind of lights out and really doing everything that they're capable of doing. So that's a real shame for UCLA because, you know, like we said with Michigan, this is definitely a team that you would expect to make it to regional finals at least. Sure, the possibility always exists for them to be upset and not make it to nationals, but
It wouldn't even necessarily be an upset because they were the third ranked team. So, like, you could say that they weren't expected to make it to nationals.
That's true.
By the numbers,
they could pull off an upset.
100%. I predicted that happening. Mm-hmm. I really thought they were going to upset.
But UCLA has just been a little bit shaky all season and unfortunately couldn't quite pull it together when they needed to most at regionals. So that's also one of the most devastating moments from this regional championship. And at that point, I was like, look, I need something to feel good about. I need something to be happy about. You know, Michigan didn't make it. UCLA didn't make it. Michigan State didn't make it. And I'm like,
Kentucky didn't make it.
I was like, why does the world hate me? What have I done to deserve this? So what I started hoping for then was a Stanford upset.
And the gym happened. Gods gave it to you.
Chloe Widner said this on Twitter. It was the redemption arc of the Angry Tree. So Stanford debuted that Angry Tree Leo when they were at Michigan, the first meet of the season, and they had a horrible meet. They posted a 1.93 something. I don't know the exact score. They weren't putting up full lineups. Bars was an absolute mess. And I'm sure a lot of people would have been like, Stanford's not even going to make it to regionals this year if they keep performing like that. Like, and I know people were. People on Twitter and on Reddit were saying, like, Tabitha needs to be fired and blah, blah, blah.
I know, which is also why I said you don't predict stuff week one or even week two or even week three. We said this on the podcast. I remember having this whole conversation on the podcast. It is way too early to actually make a legitimate prediction. I'm not saying people can't predict things. Like, predicting things is fine and it's fun. But for those people that, like, confidently speak on a team's potential outcome after one performance.
You can't.
In January, there's so much parity in the sport right now that you genuinely don't know injury-wise what's going to happen. And also just, like, confidence-wise and energy-wise what's going to happen with the team. Whether it's going in a positive direction or a negative direction. It just entirely
impossible, way too impossible mm-hmm. for any person to be able to predict that. And Stanford, honestly, is the perfect example of why. Because in January, they're going 1-9-3 and people are calling for the head coach to be fired. And then in April, they're advancing on to the NCAA championships as an unseeded team. And rightfully earned, mind you.
Yeah, and when we talked to Tabitha at the start of the season, because we were commentating the meet when Stanford came to Michigan, she talked about resting some of her top athletes and some of the freshmen because she felt that they were so valuable that she wanted them to be able to peak when it mattered most, which is towards the later half of the season and most importantly regionals. And I think a lot of people didn't understand that decision, but now in hindsight, it's iconic and it's almost hilarious the way it all just panned out so perfectly for Stanford.
It's almost like the head coach knows what they're doing.
Right.
Who would have thought?
I mean, it was beautiful. The way Stanford performed, and this wasn't just a matter of other teams making mistakes and Stanford just happened to capitalize.
Stanford was just good.
Stanford was really, really good. They honestly, both days of competition, kind of like carbon copy. I mean, little things here and there were different, sure, but like they were on beam and they were sticking vaults and floor was great and they just looked great both days of competition. They posted a 1.976 in the semifinal and then a 1.97575, so just a little bit short of what they posted in the semifinal.
So basically the same type of score.
To advance to nationals for the first time since 2016, which nobody, find me one person who predicted this happening in the preseason polls, you know, like no one saw this coming. I think it's iconic. I'm so happy for Stanford and they were so happy and it was just a feel good moment to wrap up regionals.
And it was one of those things where Stanford was ending on floor while Denver, who was ranked sixth in the nation as a team, was going to vault. And Denver only had a half-tenth lead going into the last rotation. So kind of like we said at the start of the show, my mindset was Denver either needs to stick more than half of their vaults right now or be very close to sticking. Like they need 9-9 plus vaults back to back to back for the most part. Or Stanford needs to not fall and they need to not go out of bounds. And they are about to advance. Mm-hmm. And they did.
And it actually ended in the coolest way possible with Chloe Widner getting a 10. Her first 10 ever on floor. She had one on beam earlier this season. But, I mean, like, what a way to do it.
Yeah, she only needed a 9.875 to tie Denver, which they would have won the tiebreak because Denver had several falls. So she basically needed a 9.875 to advance for the team. And, yeah, she got a 10. So
what a moment. And definitely, I think, the best way to end regionals weekend, for sure. So, anyways, we got really excited and we skipped ahead talking about Stanford. But Cal, of course, won this regional. They looked amazing. Posted the second highest score behind Oklahoma.
And I think that with this performance and kind of what they've been doing all season, they were off at Pac-12s and everyone was like panicking. And I was like, I think they're going to be fine. I think if they do close or maybe even better than what they did here at regionals, because I still think they're capable of better than that. Like it wasn't a complete, like 100% their best performance. I feel like the difference maker here for them was they got more vault landings. Mm-hmm. But I think that they can still be even a little bit sharper. And when they do that, if they do that, I actually think that this team can put pressure on Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
We always talk about Oklahoma, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. They're going to win. And I still think they're going to win. Like my gut still says Oklahoma's going to win. But I feel like Stanford, not Stanford. I mean, listen, I would love Stanford.
At this rate.
Cal is the kind of team that when they put it all together, like we've seen them do at various points throughout the season, they are a mid 1.98 kind of team.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a lower end of the mid section of
and
a 1.98.
They're the kind of team that if Oklahoma is a little bit off, they can capitalize. Very few teams, I think, are actually in a position to be able to say that. I think LSU is one. And I think Cal is also another one.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Cal even more than LSU. I feel like Cal has a finesse and kind of just this look to their gymnastics that really leaves no doubt that what they're doing is close to perfect. Mm-hmm. In terms of like pointed toe, straight legs, like those little details.
They're really similar.
It's more similar to Oklahoma's level, whereas I feel like LSU is kind of like a little bit more rough around the edges and more like powerful. So I think Cal and LSU are pretty evenly matched, but they have different strengths, if that makes sense.
No, yeah.
Totally. I feel like Cal strengths are more similar to OU strengths. And so when they have a day where they have sticky feet, in my mind, that makes them a little bit closer to being able to actually put some pressure on Oklahoma.
No, that makes
if that
sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I agree with you.
But anyways, yeah, so Cal, they looked amazing. Denver also didn't really have a bad meet. They had some falls, but they were able to drop all of their falls. So it didn't end up coming down to, having a fall or having to count like a large mistake.
They were pretty solid.
They didn't completely knock themselves out of it because of having to count a fall. It was very just similar to what happened to Kentucky and what happened in Michigan last year, where you're doing good, but it's just not like enough in that particular meet. They left some tenths on the floor, and I feel like in a regional final, you just can't do that, especially when other teams are turning it on. You cannot leave any doubt. And so that was a really unfortunate way for Denver to go out, because I actually felt like they were building towards postseason. I mean, we saw it in their scores and in their ranking, how they jumped in the rankings. Mm-hmm. They were the kind of team that I think, especially with UCLA going out, I thought for sure it was going to be Denver that advanced.
Yeah.
And no, it ended up being Stanford. So it just goes to show you that anything is possible. So individuals advancing out of the Berkeley Regional from Washington, we have Skylar Killa-Willem from Washington. We have two athletes from Arizona State. One of them is not Hannah Scharf, which I'm really sad about because she's gone to Nationals, I think, twice now as an individual, but did not qualify here. It's actually Anaya Smith on vault and Jada Mangahas on the uneven bars. And then Selena Harris goes on beam and Shea Campbell goes on floor. And there was a huge tiebreak, a lot of athletes that had the same scores. Jada Mangahas beat her teammate Sienna Samley, as well as MML Buyo, Brianna Brooks, and Riley Mondow, as well as Lauren McPherson and Aubrey Swartzy, if that's how you say it. Sorry if that's wrong.
No, I think it's right.
And that was via the four-judge total that Mangahas was able to advance. Selena Harris beat out Jessica Hutchinson and Bella Mabanta on beam by having the highest four-judge total.
It's a crime that Jessica Hutchinson is not going to Nationals.
It just feels wrong.
Yeah.
It feels very wrong. She should be going as an all-arounder. And I'm not saying that Skylar does not deserve to go. I'm saying that
no,
more
it's what
athletes
you were saying earlier. It just feels like when you're that good, you can't not go to Nationals.
Right. Like, is it really
an all-around battle if Jessica Hutchinson is not
a
part of it?
Yeah. It's a crime.
And she got screwed over from the AAI rankings as well.
Yeah. Justice for Jessica Hutchinson. Jessica also got beat out on floor by Shea Campbell, who beat Jessica, Brooklyn Moores, Naya Reed, Emily Innes, and Skylar Killa-Willem with the highest four-judge total on floor.
But Skylar's going for all around, so I guess that took a bit
of Whoops, forgot to delete that. But yeah, still a several-way tie, and Shea came out on top, which I'm happy about because love Shea on floor, especially after missing floor for a large part of the season.
The iconic Shea floor lives on.
Yes, it lives to see another day, and keeping our fingers crossed for a Shea Campbell fifth year.
Among many fifth year wishes.
Yes. Okay, so we are going to wrap it up with our Nationals predictions. Can't believe we're already at this point in the season, but here we are. Here we go. So we mentioned at the very beginning, semifinal one will be LSU, Cal, Stanford, and Arkansas. And semifinal two will be Oklahoma, Alabama, Utah, and Florida. Whew, that one's tough.
Yeah, so semifinal one, I feel like LSU and Cal are the obvious choices there. Stanford and Arkansas, of course, they can have a good day and put pressure on if LSU or Cal happens to have an off day, which is totally possible. But I think based off of what we've seen this season, LSU and Cal are clear and away the favorites.
Two of these teams are probably expecting to move on. Like, they have the goal of going to the Final Four.
They are thanking the heavens above that they got placed in this semifinal instead of the second one, because this is absolutely the easier one.
Well, it just feels like the team goals for a team like LSU and Cal has to be to make it to Final Four and be in contention to win the national title. Two of these teams are hoping to win a national title, and two of these teams are kind of just happy to be there, it feels like. Like, Stanford and Arkansas, it was a battle for them to be able to make it to Nationals.
And, like, this is the end goal.
And, like, sure, like, they're going to get there, and they're going to fight to try to make the Final Four. We're not saying that, but
LSU and Cal started the season with making the Final Four and contending for a national title in mind.
Yeah, whereas Stanford and Arkansas, you know,
this feels like a happy ending for them to be able to qualify a team to national. So I'm with you. I think LSU and Cal advancing out of semifinal one is the most likely, and that's what I'm going to predict. And then for semifinal two, the bloodbath between Oklahoma, Alabama, Utah, and Florida. I mean, you got to go Oklahoma. I don't think that a team as powerful and as dominant as Oklahoma is going to get upset in the semifinals. I mean, I guess never say never, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, they've been too consistent this season. I think they've proven that. So
I'm going Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think for my second team, I think I'm going to go Florida.
I'm going Florida too.
It's a classic, you know?
I think that out of Bama and Utah, they've been showing more consistency. Florida seems to be building as they head to postseason, where I feel like, well, and Bama is too, to be fair, but Bama, I still feel like it's, I don't mean this to be offensive, but it just feels like it's still not enough.
Yeah. Well, Florida doesn't really have a clear weakness. Like, when everyone does what they're capable of, they're strong. They can contend for the national title. Yeah. Like, they're just as good as all the other teams. Whereas Bama and Utah have an event where it's kind of like, it feels like it's weighing them down a little bit.
It's literally vault for both of them.
Yeah.
And Florida, that was the case in the beginning of the season, but they've really got vault together in the later half of the season. So I think for that reason alone, that's why I have Florida.
I agree. So our prediction is, we're unanimous here. We have LSU, Cal, Oklahoma, and Florida, with what I assume would be Oklahoma winning the national title.
And if I have anybody upsetting, I mean, I think this is clear from my, just the way I talk on this podcast week in and week out, but I think Cal would be my upset prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And I could also kind of see a world in which LSU would too. But I really don't even think that's going to happen. Like, I just see Oklahoma winning outright.
I agree.
So send us your predictions. As always, we'll have the question, if you're listening on Spotify, down below, where you can submit your answer, and it might not publish right away. For some reason, it makes us like manually publish the responses, and sometimes I don't get to it until like a day or two later. But go ahead and submit those, and we'll publish them so you can read other people's predictions as well. That does it for this week's episode. We hope you all enjoyed it. And as always, we'd like to end by thanking our Patreon supporters for helping to make this show possible. We love and appreciate you all so, so much. And don't forget, even if you're not a Patreon, to go check our Patreon app, because very, very soon, possibly by the time this episode is already up and you're listening to this, we will have our rescore of the Gainesville Regional posted on Patreon, but it's going to be public for everyone to see. So make sure you go check that out. The link is in the show notes down below, or you can get the link in the bio of any of our social media pages.
It's possible we might be back next week with an interview. We have a couple interviews that we're in the process of trying to get set up, and one of them may potentially happen before NCAAs, but if not, we'll be back after the NCAA championships to talk about that and share all of our thoughts, and then probably have several interviews that we get into after the college season has ended. So stay tuned for that. We hope everyone has a great week. Hopefully you did not get blinded by the solar eclipse today if you're listening to this on Monday. And we will talk to you all soon.
Bye.